Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you I haven't met, my name's Michelle. I'm a member here at KMB is my home site, and I was invited to share the message this morning, which is a joy for me. And so I'm really excited to be here with you and in Waterloo and to dig into God's word together. And as I was praying about this message and the passage that we just heard, and I'm going to share a bit of my journey over this fall. And I love the prayer reflection that you did during the offering, and we're going to continue and do some more in that and in that same posture of looking ahead to the new year and asking God to prepare us and asking Him what He wants us to hear from Him as we look ahead to a new season and as we dig into His word. This message this morning, it starts in a prayer retreat that I took back at the end of September. I was going out to Abbotsford, BC for board meetings, and I had the opportunity to go out a few days early and take a couple days on my own. There's a place called the Mark Center right in Abbotsford. And so I took a couple days to retreat there on my own. And at that point, I was a month before finishing my staff role here at WMB and just felt prompted to take a couple days where I could step away and be with Jesus and dig into His word and ask the Holy Spirit how He wanted me to prepare for the season ahead. And the Mark Center had a prayer labyrinth. Who here has done a prayer labyrinth before? Anybody? A few of you have, yes. And so you can see an example of one on the screen. This isn't the one from the Mark Center, but it's very similar. And so it's like a way of doing a prayer walk. It's not like a maze type of labyrinth where you're trying to find your way through. There's one route in and out, and it's clearly laid out. But as you enter and walk through the labyrinth, it's like a way of entering God's presence and walking with Him in prayer and inviting Him to speak to you and lead and guide you through this labyrinth and then back out again. And so they had this outside of the Mark Center. And in the 2 days I was there, I ended up doing this several times. And each time it became like a walk of surrender for me. As I would enter the path and God would start to speak of things He wanted me to surrender to Him. And then what He wanted me to hear from Him that time. And I did this again and again. And it was a powerful experience. And so the passage we're going to look at this morning, it uses the metaphor of running a race to talk about walking with Jesus and life in His kingdom. And as we look at this passage, I'm going to bring in stories from my experiences in the prayer labyrinth and how it helped me understand what it looks like to run this race with Jesus. So let's take a moment and pray. Oh, Father, yes. Just invite Your Spirit to speak to us through Your word this morning as we hear this invitation to run this race with You. Would we be reminded of who You are as the one who invites us to this kingdom life, the one who walks with us, the one who empowers us and makes possible in and through us what would be impossible without You. And would You give us a vision to hunger and chase after You in all that You have called us to together as Your people? May Your Spirit speak to and encourage each person here this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the key instruction in today's passage actually comes midway through verse 1 when the author says, "Let us run." Let us run with endurance the race set before us. And what is this race? That's the kingdom life we've been talking about all through the fall that we're going to continue to talk about in the next couple months in the new year. Life with Jesus has purpose. He has set out a path for us, and He invites us to run it, to pursue Him, to hunger and chase after Him with intentionality, with single-minded focus, to run after the purpose and calling He has given us as His people. And I know when we talk about running a race, this might get some of you really excited, But for others of you, running a race might feel overwhelming right now. And that's okay. There's a great irony in my life. For many years, I was not a runner. I was the typical soccer player who would run to chase after a ball on the soccer field, but that was it, nothing else. And then during COVID, I started running with Adam and came to find that I really enjoyed it. It was a really freeing and relaxing activity. But then since then, I've been plagued by one injury after another and haven't been able to keep it up. And so I have this great irony in my life that after many years of not wanting to have anything to do with running, now I love to do it. And now I long to just step out my door and go for a run, even in this winter weather. And yet I'm not physically able to do it. And that might be a bit of how life feels for you right now. And if you can relate to that, I want to encourage you. God knows you. He sees you. He loves you. And he sets out a path and a pace for you. And he makes it possible for you. God's invitation is not about speed, but about focused and intentional pursuit of him. And it's not something he expects us to do through our own might or strength, by the way he makes possible for us. And it's an invitation ultimately to run by faith, to choose to trust and follow Jesus and take one step at a time with him. And the author of Hebrews sets this up in the previous chapter when he says, faith is the reality, the confidence of what is hoped for, the proof, the assurance of what is not seen. And as the author reflects on all these heroes of the faith, all these people from the story of Scripture, they're affirmed not for what they did, but simply by how they lived by faith, trusting in Jesus and surrendering to God and allowing him to have his way. Living a life of faith in Jesus is choosing to live our day-to-day lives based around something that is awesome and compelling, but that is also beyond what we can fully see or fully know or understand today. So the choice to trust in that, to trust in the one we do know, who has revealed himself and who runs with us. And the author knows that to run by faith, to press forward into the unknown day after day, is a daunting task. And so as he gives us this invitation, he shows us several ways that God empowers us, the ways he invites us to run with him in this kingdom life he calls us to. And so starting at verse 1, we read, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. That key word, therefore, that whenever we see in Scripture, we look back to what we've just read, and we see in chapter 11, as I said, all these heroes of faith, the story of Scripture and the example of all these people that have run the race before us and that can encourage us and spur us forward by how they modeled and showed us how to live by faith. As Jesus invites us to a kingdom life that is abundant, that is deeply fulfilling, he also knows it won't be easy at times. It'll be difficult, challenging, confusing. It won't look smart or practical to the world at a lot of times. And as we face this, what a gift that we can look to all those who have gone before us, this large group of people witnessing, testifying to God's faithfulness to them and saying, yes, it is possible, encouraging us forward. Who is it for you? Who are people in the story of Scripture or in your life today who have gone before you and whose example of faith inspires you and encourages you today? Each each of his people, God is commended simply for living by faith. And they bear witness to this invitation for us as a community to pick up the baton and carry that forward in our lives today. And they also point us to scripture. All of these people, this cloud of witnesses, they're all from the Hebrew scriptures or our Old Testament. And so the author is also pointing us to the Bible, to God's word, to his truth as our source of encouragement, of wisdom, of direction. If we want to know how God is at work, how he has been at work, if we want to learn how to trust in his faithfulness and find encouragement and hope today, we got to go to his word, to scripture. This last 2 months, while I've had time off, I found myself just like devouring the Bible every morning. As I sit there with my morning coffee and I've been reading entire letters and just soaking it in, and it has been so energizing. And I felt these words just jumping off the paper and speaking to me and encouraging me. And I encourage you to do the same, to dig into scripture and hunger after all that God has for us in his word. So I want you to take a moment right now and just reflect, what's a situation or something you're facing in your own life today where you need a reminder of God's faithfulness, of who he is for you? Just make a note of this. And I invite you to take some time to dig into the Bible this week and ask God to lead you to a passage, to a story, a person in scripture to speak to you and encourage you this week. And as we continue in verse 1, the author says, in light of this cloud of witnesses cheering us on, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. So the second invitation God has for us in this kingdom race is to walk in humility, to humble ourselves before God today, to allow him to deal with all the stuff in our lives that weighs us down, that slows us down, that pulls us off course, that get us stuck and trapped and unable to run in the way he created us for. The author talks about every hindrance, any kind of burden or weight that you're carrying that slows you down, even something that's so weighty that it's like it causes you to bend over so you can't move freely and naturally. And the author talks about sin that ensnares us. Any kind of sin as we deal with temptations, as we deal with the brokenness of the world around us. Sin that gets us tangled up, caught, stuck, pulled off course, or unable to move. Let's imagine this for a moment. So picture in your mind, if you will, some great world-class runners. Maybe someone like one of the Jamaican greats, Usain Bolt, sprinting down the track towards one of his medals. Maybe even the one where he raises his hand in victory as he freely just crosses the line, head of the race. So imagine Usain just sprinting freely down the track. Now imagine him if we take a backpack full of rocks and strap it on his back, and maybe fill his hands with a bunch of bricks or weights so that he can't pump his hands and run freely, but he's weighed down with all of this. And then we take Usain and we start tying him up, and we take rope and wrap it around his body and his legs and his arms, and now he's all tangled up. And with all of that, even someone like Usain Bolt, how does he look flying or trying to sprint down the track right now? God has created us to run freely. But the reality is that there's so many things we get caught in, that we give into, that we get distracted by, that weigh us down, that get us tangled and stuck and tripped up and unable to run in the way God created us. So as kingdom people, we're called to take this seriously and address it together. to be open and humble before God and one another so that we can deal with this stuff and take it to Jesus, to allow him to bring to light burdens that we're carrying that are not from him, and to choose to surrender and trust him with that, to allow him to show the sin in our lives that we've got entangled up and stuck in. He invites us to come to them, to name, to confess, to repent, to receive his forgiveness that he longs to pour out on us, to bring us forgiveness and healing, because Jesus wants us to run freely and he's made a way for us to do that. He went to the cross to deal with us so that the junk and garbage of the world wouldn't be the end. He has so much more for us. And it's not easy, but he has a way and wants to bring us the healing and freedom to run freely in the way he created us for. So to be kingdom people living as kingdom race, we are invited to press into this together, to allow Jesus bring his healing and freedom to work in us together as his people and to pursue this together. And I just want to give you a moment right now with Jesus. Maybe there's a sin that you're tangled up in that the Spirit is prompting you to name before him, to confess and turn from, to receive his forgiveness, or a burden you're carrying that Jesus wants you to let go and trust him with. And just take a moment with Jesus right now. I'd like to share a bit of what this has looked like for me. And I want to go back to the prayer labyrinth I mentioned earlier. And as I started doing this prayer labyrinth on the retreat, the first thing I had to address with was my need for control, which, as some of you know, is an ongoing pattern in my life. The first time I set out in the labyrinth, I had been reading from the Gospel of Luke that morning. And as I prepared to begin, I felt God prompt me with these words from Jesus: take nothing for the road. Adam would tell you that I am not a light packer. I like to be prepared for anything. And so when I pack, I bring at least one of anything I might need to prepare for, be ready for any situation I might encounter. It just seems to make sense to me. But that morning, God said no. Take nothing with you. Let it all go. And so the first thing I had to let go of was my need for control, because I'm someone that likes to have a plan, that likes to know how and when things are going to happen. Some of you would have heard me say that I can easily live by faith when I know what is going to happen and when and how, which is, let's face it, not really living by faith, right? And so even when I think about something like this prayer labyrinth, if you picture it again, it's not a maze. It's not like I can get lost. But my inclination is to still look ahead and see what route the path is going to take and know how I'm going to get in and out of it. And yet as I stood there at the beginning that first time, I heard these words from God. And I was like, and I felt him saying, you need to practice walking by faith with me. You need to allow me to lead and be okay to not know where I'm going to lead you. And it's going to start here in this labyrinth. And so each time I walked the labyrinth on that retreat, I had to walk with my head down so that I could only see the next step in front of me and take that all the way in, all the way out. And let me tell you how uncomfortable that was and how hard it was to not just constantly pull my head up and look and see. And as I'm walking towards the center and all of a sudden it goes back out and I'm like, hold on, what's going out here? Where is this going? No, Michelle, head down, one step at a time. God is leading you. And as I said, it was so uncomfortable. But as I did it, it became a walk of surrender. Because each step gave me space to name all the ways that I was uncomfortable because I didn't like the unknown. I didn't like to be the one in charge leading the way. The fears or stress that lay before me. All the ways that I struggled to trust in God. He used this space to bring these up one at a time and give me space to surrender them to Him. Each time I went through this prayer walk, God would bring up different scriptures I had read that morning and use them to guide me in this. Surrendering my need for control was just the first step, but it opened up more of the Spirit's work in me. And so as I continued through each time, He would bring up other junk that He wanted to clean out of me, to give me His peace and stillness. One time through the labyrinth, it was grief about the changes ahead. Another time through the labyrinth, it was questions of identity and doubts and insecurities about myself. Another time through the labyrinth, it was another sin issue that I had to deal with and confess before Him. Each time He had something for me. And each time as He gave me the space and I chose to confess before God, He would have His way in me. And I was reminded that it wasn't about me doing this, but simply about me surrendering and let God work in me, that it was God who would work this in me, that it was God who wanted to work out His good purpose for me, that these uncomfortable spaces were part of His goodness and love to have His way in me. And so as I walked through that and wrestled through this each time, I would eventually reach the center of the labyrinth a little lighter, a little freer. And verse 1 continues, as we deal with all of this stuff, He says, "Let us run with endurance the race that lies before it." He says this path that Jesus has laid out for us, it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. And one that'll be challenging at times. As some of you might know, Adam and I moved to Kitchener, and we're just a 5-minute walk from KMB, and I love getting to walk to church. But it's fascinating to me the number of times that I'm coming up McKenzie, and I'm in a subdivision, and it's quiet and peaceful, and then I hit Ottawa Street. And it's open, and it's bustling and busy and chaotic. And somehow, I'm always walking into a headwind walking up to KMB. You know, this kingdom race, this kingdom life we're invited into, there are times where it will feel light and easy. A refreshing jog on a beautiful spring day. But the reality is that there's other times that this kingdom life can feel like running uphill in a snowstorm against the wind. Maybe there's ice and freezing rain and you're slipping and sliding up the hill. And there's hail and pellets and anything else coming. You get the picture. This is part of the kingdom life too. And in all of this, we're called to press on and run with endurance. And this cloud of witnesses that were pointed to at the beginning, they showed what it was like to run the marathon. And we read in chapter 11, the ways they were mighty and victorious in the battles they faced, the way God gave them strength in their weakness, ways that they brought about justice. We read that they shut the mouths of lions. We read how they escaped fire and sword and even saw people raised from the dead. But then we also read how they were tortured, imprisoned, mocked, scourged, stoned, brutally killed, how some wandered homeless, the ways they were mistreated and suffered greatly. And in all of this, they patiently endured. They pressed on towards the promises of God, trusting by faith in the one that they may not see but knew to be true. Their eyes weren't focused on the world around them, but on the heavenly home that they were confident awaited them. And this compelled them to not give up. And they compel us to run with this same perspective in mind today. For me, running with endurance comes through this daily surrender, daily renewing my trust in God and dealing with the stuff that is going to weigh me down or trip me up today. In this practice of walking through the labyrinth, one step at a time with God, allowing him to deal with stuff. That was powerful on the retreat. But what also matters is that I take that practice into my day-to-day life and choose to walk each day in that same way, surrendering to Jesus again and again and again. And as I did the labyrinth on the retreat, as I would eventually get to the center, each time I got there, I found myself spending more time just sitting in God's presence, being reminded of his presence with me, his love for me, taking as long as he wanted to be with him and just listen to him. The Mark Center gave this scripture as a guide to pray through the labyrinth. It's a very familiar passage from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him and he will make your path straight. I use this as I went through the labyrinth again and again, and it's become a bit of a theme verse for me this fall and something that I keep coming back to. How do I need to pray this today? Whether it's back in the center of the labyrinth or now in the recliner with my morning coffee or throughout the day when I realize a moment of anxiety or stress, I can use these words. Where am I relying more on myself than God right now? What do I need to let go of in this moment so that God can have more of my heart right now? What of my plans, my ways, do I need to surrender so that I can be open to his way for me right now? There's a peace that Jesus brought me on that retreat that has continued to this day. And I keep trying to come back to this practice. And every time I take my fear, my worry, my doubts, and surrender them to God, I exchange it for his peace, his stillness, his strength, his wisdom. I'm reminded that God knows all of what's ahead, and it's okay, and sometimes even better that I don't. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. What an incredible gift from him. So I invite you to reflect right now. In what ways are you training for a marathon of faith? Is there something you need to surrender to Jesus, to give to him right now, to receive his peace, his strength for you in this moment? And I just add again that this is something that we need to pursue together. We're called to run this race together and encourage one another, point each other to Jesus and build one another up in his strength. This isn't a solitary journey, but he's given us the gift of brothers and sisters to move together, to encourage each other, to point ourselves, to point one another to Jesus, which is the final and most important part that the author has for us. He says, we run this race with endurance by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. Jesus has already run the race. And there's two words that describe him here. He's the pioneer of our faith. He is the initiator and the forerunner who goes ahead of us. Like the pioneer of a movement, the leader in a long succession of followers. He has set the way and continues to lead us forward, blazing a trail for us to follow in his footsteps. The author has shown Jesus as creator, savior, exalted prince, the one in whom all things will be brought to consummation. This Jesus is the one who has given us new life, who has set a way for us. He is already at the finish line and he is leading us forward together. And Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, the one who has completed it all, who has already accomplished fully what is needed for us to run this race. And ultimately, he did this through the cross. We've just been looking and hearing the Christmas narrative over this month and looking at what God began with his people through Abraham and Moses and David and throughout the story of God's people in Scripture. And God brings us to completion, to perfection in Jesus. And now his kingdom is here and we get to taste and live in it right now. We read that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. What's your perspective when you face suffering? Because Jesus saw it of little consequence that he would be scorned and shamed on the cross, mocked, rejected. For Jesus, this was nothing compared to the joy of following his Father and what this would accomplish. Because Jesus did this for the joy that lay before him. Anything to distract him or slow him down. He went to the cross because he saw beyond it to the joy of obedience, to the joy of participating in the redemption of the world. His eyes were on the kingdom he was establishing for us. And Jesus knew that the shame, suffering on the cross, even death, that none of that would be the end. He had faith to see beyond all of that, confidence in the Father he was following. And so Jesus chose to run even to the cross. And now he empowers us to do the same. If you're feeling weary, we don't have to self-talk ourselves into acting like we're strong. We need to look to Jesus to remember what we know to be true about who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do today. Jesus, who gives us his Holy Spirit. And as we surrender to him, we can walk in his power and authority and continue to do what Jesus did here on earth and even greater things as we follow him faithfully. Back in the prayer labyrinth, each time as I sat at the center, there would be that time where I knew it was time to head back out. And as I came out of the prayer labyrinth, I had to do the same thing again. One more time, surrendering my need for control and walking back out, head down, and allowing God to lead. And even when I would be out and all of a sudden I turn back to the center, trusting, practicing that faith that God was leading me. And each time I emerged from the prayer labyrinth, it became an invitation to anticipate what he had for me today, to choose to be ready to participate in his kingdom activity, to anticipate the ways he'd be at work in and through me, the people he would bring among me, the places he would lead me to walk out choosing to trust and follow Jesus in the same way that I had walking through the labyrinth and to eagerly await what kingdom activity had for me today. And it was also a reminder that God leads me back into his community. Again, that we run this as a team and pursue him together. That I don't do this on my own, but I have a family of faith. And we carry the baton forward together. And maybe there's someone around you that you know needs a word of encouragement this week. Maybe someone that you could offer a word to, a prayer for, something to encourage them to press on. As I said earlier, I always value this time of year as one year comes to the end and another is about to begin as an opportunity to step back and reflect, look on where God has led me this past year and then be open and anticipate what he has for me going forward. And as we come to the end of this chapter in Hebrews, the author closes by pointing us back to this kingdom vision. And he says, we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. He points us to Jesus to fix our eyes on him and choose to follow him. Jesus who has run the race and makes a way for us. Jesus who now stands in authority over all things, the everlasting King whose kingdom is come. The author says that everything in this world will be shaken and everything will fall away except Jesus and his kingdom, because God alone is everlasting. You know, on this retreat, the room I was given at the Mark Center was called Expectancy. Isn't that fitting? Are you in a place of expectancy today? Anticipating, hungry for what God has for you? And if not, what do you need from him? What do you need to surrender to him? To be open to that. I'm gonna invite the worship team back up, and I'm gonna invite the prayer ushers up. And as we finish our time together in worship this morning, we'll have prayer ushers here who would love to pray with you. This can be a space of praying and surrendering burdens to Jesus, responding to him, opening ourselves up to him and what he has for us. So I want to close by encouraging you to look to Jesus, to fix your eyes on him so that you won't grow weary and give up. He loves you and he is faithful to you. And so one more moment of reflection as we close in prayer. What's something that has you distracted or weary? What are things competing for your attention today? Jesus invites you to trust him with each of these so that you can look beyond them and see him, the one who blazes a trail through them for you, who calls you forward and walks with you. As I close us in prayer, I just invite you to open your hands as I pray as of the way of offering these to Jesus and choosing to look to him this morning.